Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Reading verse 9 one more time. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verses 1 through 9, Joshua chapter 1. Father, we thank you today once again for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. Thank you for the wonderful and the blessed gift of eternal life. Thank you for the chance to know you, to be able to serve you. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, not only we have of being able to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you've called us and commissioned us to be bold disciples, believers who are standing up for what we know to be right, what is true, that which honors you, that which lines up with your will. More and more, help us to be bold in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ as we share the gospel. Help us to be bold in the midst of doing the work of discipleship and encouraging others in their faith. And help us to be bold in standing up for truth in any and every context. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that there's never a time, never a situation where it's inappropriate for us to speak your word, to stand on your word, and to recognize that your word is the highest authority in the universe. Help us to live that way and believe that way. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
God, we come today to magnify your name, to boast in you today. Father, what a blessing, what a joy, what a peace inside. We have a relationship with you based on your precious Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. A reminder to you, the American Family Association invites you to join millions of Americans in a day of prayer and appreciation for law enforcement on this coming Sunday, Sunday, June the 13th. This is our opportunity to show respect and appreciation towards those who bravely serve and protect our communities. Too many times, those in law enforcement are taken for granted. Let them know that you believe in the importance of their work and that you do appreciate them. Some of the things you can do to show your support for them include pray for them, pray daily for them, for God to protect them, to guide them, and to encourage them as they do the work that they do. And also, when you run into law enforcement in the community, say thank you. Let them know you appreciate who they are and what they stand for. Offer to pay for their lunch in the restaurant sometime, or prepare a few handwritten notes to give to them as well. So recognize them is a great thing to do. You can visit afa.net for other helpful resources, and please add your name to thousands of others that are committed to praying for our law enforcement officers on Sunday, June the 13th. Hope you'll do that. We continue to remind you of our Ten Commandments project, which is underway, and we're encouraging every believer to prayerfully look into how you can get involved with this. It's an aggressive youth discipleship project, and I think I'm getting more excited about it with every passing day as I see how it's touching and encouraging the lives of believers, specifically young people, to engage the Word of God and to begin to learn truth and apply it in their lives. We're going to listen to a young lady who's a part of the Ten Commandments Speech Project, Jada. She's a teenager, and we're going to listen to her speech.
The Ten Commandments can be found in two places in the Word of God, listing all 10 of the commandments. They are listed in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. Of the 10, the 8th commandment tells us, you shall not steal. To steal is to take away from its true owner. It's to take something that doesn't belong to you and keep it for yourself as it does. Sadly, we live in a world where people steal in many ways. We as followers of the Lord should seek to always respect the property of others. A wise way to live is to decide that if something does not belong to you, do not take it. Don't take other people's things. In our culture, too often children and young people will sometimes go to a store and steal things. This is often called shoplifting, and this is, of course, is wrong. Again, the Bible says you shall not steal. Often, children and youth steal things from a store and think it's fun or funny. At least they may think it's funny until they get caught. And when they get caught, sometimes they might put you in jail. Jail for children and youth called juvenile detention. Sadly, children and youth might think it's a game to steal and get away with it. Stealing is always wrong. Sometimes when a person is trying to steal something, they can get hurt. And sometimes they even may get shot or killed. A true, very sad story happened some time ago in a large city in the southern U.S. A high school age teen, a young man, stole from a store and hurried out. Well, a person who worked in the store took a gun and shot the young man. Tragically, the young man died. Whatever he stole clearly wasn't worth dying for. The store worker did get arrested, but the young man was dead. God gives us commandments in His Word not to harm us, but to help us, bless us, and keep us safe. If someone had taught this young man the Ten Commandments when he was younger and helped him to get these truths into his heart, I believe that he would still be alive today. When people respect to property and ownership of others, everyone wins. Think about it. How do you feel when someone takes something that belongs to you? It makes you feel bad. When something that is yours has been stolen. If you want something that you don't have, pray and ask God to give it to you, or ask your parents to buy you one, or get a job and earn the money to buy it yourself. If you earn the money and earn enough to buy you what you want, you will feel good about yourself. But stealing can cause everyone to lose. Don't steal. Ephesians 4:28 tells us, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. It is important that we seek to be a blessing to people by blessing and giving to others. Let's live to always honor the Lord and respect the property and ownership of others. We should seek to be a person who gives to and blesses others. We should never seek to be a thief. Let's live to honor God, to respect people, and always respect the property and ownership of others.
All right, a beautiful speech by a young lady named Jada, and that's a good message for any teen or any adult anywhere to hear. Okay, so again, we're encouraging you, please do email me, at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net to get more information about the Ten Commandments Project. Hope that we will do that, and we can get more teens involved in doing that and being a part of this important project. So hope that you will contact us to get more information and see how you can get involved with helping teens and young people that you know get involved with the Ten Commandments Project. Again, jparker@afa.net. We are honored to have as our phone guest today Minister Autry Pruitt. He's the Chief Executive Director of an organization called New Journey. Autry, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Pastor. I'm so glad to be on board with you.
Great to have you today. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment just to further introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them who you are and what you do.
I am in the state of Florida. That's where I live. I was an evangelist for pretty much for my life. I started preaching when I was 13 years old. It's a great story I told Bishop Grandfather. You know, I think I'm called to preach. And this was, and he said, well, guess what? Next Sunday, which happened to be the Easter Sunday, you got 15 minutes. And that's how it was done.
Okay. Kind of threw you out there. Okay. All right. So you said since the age of 13, you've been preaching then?
Yeah, since the age of 13. And I was in real estate. I was in real estate, and then I met a guy by the name of James Golden and Rush Limbaugh, and they asked me to come and run New Journey, the political organization based out of Florida, because I've run large real estate organizations from the ground up, and right now I'm doing that with a political organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I spend a lot of time at that intersection between government and Christianity. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of revivals. My heart in terms of Christianity is getting us to a place where we could talk with non-believers, talk with people who have doubts, and get their spirits and minds and hearts to open up to what Christ is saying to them and how Christ is calling them. I believe that now, although we're going to talk about political stuff, I believe that now in terms of the church, we approach a lot of things wrong. And if we approach things more like Christ, we wouldn't have ended up in some of the positions and some of the situations we are today. Like, for example, dealing with the transgender movement, dealing with the homosexuality stuff. We have to learn how to operate in love even when individuals are acting outside of the will of Christ or they've been bamboozled by the enemy to think that something that they're doing is actually sanctioned. By our Father. So, for example, I tell people all the time when I'm dealing with pastors, I'm dealing with ministers, I tell them all the time, having five people, you know, in the choir that you knew were sleeping with each other out of wedlock and everybody in the church knew, but the person who's gay is the only person you want to come out, that's a problem. Because then you're not preaching the word equally amongst your people. And so what happens is even if you have someone who happens to be gay in your church and you're going to counsel them and you're going to be with them, if all you do is call them out, but you don't ever talk about the fornicators and the adulterers, you know, and those people who are doing that like-minded stuff in your church, then they're going to miss sight of that larger goal. And what I have found is that if you treat sin as sin all the way around, then a sinner is opening, is often open to listening. But if they see that somehow you treat one sin one way and another sin a different way, then they'll just dismiss you as a hypocrite. And I think we have to be guided a little bit. Anyway, I didn't mean to go off on that tangent. You asked me to introduce myself, and I went off on a tangent.
Well, no, I appreciate you sharing that, because we are called to preach the truth in love. And actually everything, absolutely everything flows from that. And as we hear the truth and we walk it out in truth and love, God's word blesses every situation, every circumstance, every community, and there is nothing that's not covered under God's truth. And if we honor God in the way we do it, it's blessed. So again, I appreciate you sharing that. And we're coming up on a break, and on the other side of the break, Audrey, I'm going to ask if you'll pray for listeners to really have ears to hear all that the Lord would say to them through that which you'll be sharing on the broadcast today. So we'll be right back.
Falling apart. We as a nation have totally forsaken. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Heal our land as we turn our faces back toward you.
Fred Hammond, If My People. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Minister Autry Pruitt. He's the chief executive of New Journey, not New Jersey, the state, New Journey, PAC. And so, Autry, as we begin this segment, I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment specifically to pray for listeners to have ears to hear that which the Lord would want to say to them through the broadcast today.
Heavenly Father, we come before you humbled, and we come before you kneeling and bowing before you, the creator of all and the guider of all. We ask you, Lord, to pour out your spirit upon us all so that we all can have ears and a heart that is open to receiving your word, both the word that is stated and the word that is applied and the word that has yet to be revealed. We ask you, Lord, that once this word is implanted, that we will continue to stay open so that it can grow, so that the fruit of the word and the seed that's implanted can grow and manifest itself, both in our words that come out of our mouth, our walking, our talking, and in our mind. We want the same mind that was in your Son. We want the same mind that is in you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Autry. Now, Autry, as we move further into the segment, I want to mention this specifically. You know, God's Word tells us in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And a truth that I think is wise for all of us to acknowledge is God is the supreme authority of the universe, and there's no setting in which it's inappropriate to speak the word of God. Well, recently in the news, a statement was made, what any religious tradition describes as God's will is of no concern of this Congress. Representative Nadler shared those words. I want to ask you to share your thoughts on that whole incident and that statement as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, we are in a... this is how I look at it. Speaking of Psalms, what you reminded... you reminded me calling out Psalms. I believe it's Psalms 14. Mm-hmm. Where it said, the Lord looked down upon heaven, upon the children of men, see if there were any that did understand and seek God. In the beginning of that verse says, the beginning of that chapter, excuse me, I believe it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, for they are corrupt, they have done abominable works. Mm-hmm. There is none that doeth good. And so when I look at what that statement he made and I look at what's coming out of Congress in general, it's sort of apt. The Word of God tells us that these fools that have said there is no God, they say that because they are corrupt. Mm-hmm. They do abominable works. There's no good in them. There's no fear of the Lord. They don't have the refuge. They don't take Lord as a refuge. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it wasn't surprising.
Mm-hmm.
What they are doing now, what Nadler is doing, is articulating verbally what they've been acting. If you look at how they've been dealing with abortion in particular, as well as other things, right? If you look at how Congress, and by the way, this applies to Republicans too, right? It doesn't apply just to Democrats here, because we're about servants of God, not necessarily servants of a political party.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at what Nadler's stated, I look at it and say, all the devil now is doing is articulating verbally what they have been acting.
Mm-hmm.
Right, beginning of that verse says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And another aspect of it, I think this is why Romans advises us how important confession with the mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and we've gone to the place where they didn't want, although this is the first time it's articulated, we've gone to the place where the Democrats in the House. Didn't want certain types of prayer. They didn't want Jesus Christ mentioned. They wanted to take out gender language. They wanted to make sure that committees didn't open with a prayer when some committees used to open with a prayer. When some Republicans wanted to open a committee up with just even a generic prayer, right? We know they do the session of the House, but the Democrats would walk out, right? So basically what we're starting to see from their lips is we're starting to see what's in their heart.
Hmm. And, you know, that's you put it very well and very beautifully, and it's a reminder of the need for us as believers to pray daily for our leadership, because the reality is, like it or not, there's extreme spiritual warfare going on in the midst of our government, and we see demonic activity, and that's an expression of demonic activity. When someone will come out and say God's will, or basically what they stated, is of no concern, God's supposed to be at the heart of everything. And so it's sad when a leader will come out and articulate it. He'll just make the statement. So I want to ask, would you pray for both Congress and our nation and our leadership more and more to open up and recognize in humility we desperately need God in government and in everything as well? So would you specifically pray for our country more and more to acknowledge our need and recognize the need for God in all that we do?
Heavenly Father, we come before you requesting, asking, and pleading, Lord Jesus, that you and the Holy Spirit, God, that you serve as the convictor of our leaders, the convictor of those who claim to serve this country. That their hearts will not be like Pharaoh, that they will not be hardened, that they will be open, that they will realize the error of their thinking, of their ways. We ask them, Lord, that you touch them in their homes, in their kids, in their spouses, and that begins to trickle in, opening the floodgates to an outpouring of spiritual revelation and a need for you in Congress, in the committees, in the bureaucracy, and in all places and government avenues of this country. We're begging you, Father, to give courage and strength to those that may work for Mr. Nadler or for other senators and representatives that may work for them, but that know you, God, and are afraid to speak their mind, that somehow, some way, the Spirit will come in and whisper a word of awakening in their lives, in their mind's eye, and even amongst their wives and husbands. We also plead with you, Father, that this word will spread throughout the entire Congress and even to those who wish to be in Congress, that
yes,
more
Lord,
people
Jesus.
Will be raised up Yes. We're willing to defend, uphold, believe, and stand firm on your blood-stained banner. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you. Thank you for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for all believers that make up your precious and blessed church. And thank you for us as a nation. Help us, Lord, as the church, and help us as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Audrey, let me ask you this too. How would you encourage the church to sincerely and with passion to pray specifically for our government and our nation today?
I believe this is how I believe it. I prayed this. I mentioned this in my prayer. What I would encourage the church to do is pray for the home lives of our leaders. Mm-hmm. What I'm finding is as things trickle out, both the Republicans and Democrats, like we just learned some stuff about Nancy Pelosi, we've been learning stuff about Mr. Naylor, is that you find that their children go off to the universities, or sometimes they have grandchildren, in Alice's case, that go off to universities, and they get these high-powered jobs, and they come back, and they influence their grandparents. I believe, by the way, this is what's happened with our President Biden.
Mm-hmm.
President Biden did not start off with, I've been listening to him for years, and those of you who've been around, President Biden, although always having a little bit of shakiness, he didn't start off as anti-God. He was never that way. Mm-hmm. And I think what over time is these individuals are being influenced by home. And I'm a real big, I'm a big believer that we need to pray over people's homes, that mm-hmm. the Spirit dwells in their homes. Because mm-hmm. if it doesn't dwell in their homes, it's not going to dwell in their hearts when they make it to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. And I think what's happening is the Spirit is being removed, that the Spirit of God is being pushed out. Let me phrase it, is being pushed out of individuals' homes, lives. And because it's being pushed out of individuals' homes, lives, it's then being pushed out of their heart, and then it's not going to carry anywhere else. So I take a unique stance in which I say, church members, for your politicians, for those in Congress, the president, whomever, in leadership, pray about their home lives. Pray about their kids. Pray about their wives. Mm-hmm. Imagine how different it would be if their children were believers. Mm-hmm. I saw an interesting survey just the other day where they did a survey. They made it anonymous because people don't reveal it, but they did a survey of about 150, I believe it was representatives and about, I'm sorry, it was about 75, 80 representatives and another 75, and another, not 75, I'm sorry, 50, 60 senators and of their chiefs of staff. Mm-hmm. And basically, the survey concluded that over 85% of their children and of their grandchildren had no relationship with the church.
Hmm. How sad.
But guess what? But their parents did.
Mm-hmm.
Nadler, we used to go to, even if they're Jewish, they're going to temple, right? Mm-hmm. Used to go. Biden used to go. Biden was Catholic, a devout Catholic for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I think is happening is these children are influencing their parents, if nothing else, as you know, mm-hmm. if nothing else, parents are intrinsic to protect, defend, and love their children. And mm-hmm. I believe Satan is using children to turn the hearts of their parents.
Hmm. That's a powerful thought. Hmm. Would you take time specifically to pray and address that? Pray for that matter that you just mentioned.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we and bring supplication to you that, Lord, your presence, your divine word, the divine spirit will linger over the grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and children of our leaders, that in the moment where they are considering rather or not to believe and to confess and to know of you and your spirit and your holiness, that you will just simply blow blow a wind into their lives, a wind that will put up a barrier between them and the enemy. We ask you, Lord, that you will begin to just place in their lives, either through a friend, through a coach, through a counselor, through a book they read, through a video game they play, something, Lord, that will trigger them a yearning for you, a yearning to call for you. And then once that call is made, that will then trickle like a domino effect onto their parents, their grandparents, and their great-grandparents. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I too thank you and I praise you for the opportunity for us to pray for the church. And as Brother Autry has touched on, just there's such a need for your truth and your spirit to be at work in homes and in families. Lord, flood the families of our leaders and flood all of our homes more and more with your light, your grace, your word, and your spirit. And Father, more and more, raise up individuals, raise up ministries that will reach out to families and homes much more effectively and fruitfully. We thank and praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Our phone guest today is Autry Pruitt. He is the chief executive of New Journey. We'll be right back.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my
music of Michael W. Smith with Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Autry Pruitt. He's a minister of the gospel and the chief executive officer of New Journey. And Autry, before we move further into this segment, if someone wants to get in touch with you, is there an email or a website whereby they could get in touch with you?
Yep. Go to newjourneypack.org, newjourneypack.org, newjourneypac.org. You can email me at autry@newjourneypack.org as well. So you can email me, AUTRY, like Gene Autry, autry@newjourneypack.org.
All right. Thank you, then. The Word of God tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live." And of course, one of the Ten Commandments tells us, "You shall not murder." Autry, I'm going to ask if you want to share your heart and your thoughts on the fact that we live in a country that says it's seeking to stand on the Word of God in many instances, yet tragically we have a government that supports the slaughter of the most innocent of citizens in our nation, babies in the womb. Would you share your thoughts about this whole issue?
Yes. I believe that it is of utmost importance that we, as individuals, defend life. that we understand life, and that, as in John 17:3 says, that God is the author. That's what that means, that God is the author of life.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to understand where life comes from and where it returns.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why abortion is prevalent, and if you look at the arguments surrounding Roe v. Wade and other political arguments, the reason why abortion is prevalent and we have this country's government with not only is it prevalent, but it's actually encouraged, is because we do not have a clear understanding of who gives life and who our life is owed to. When you decide to become a Christian, you turn away from everything else and you bring your life into alignment with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Your life becomes that of Christ. Your body, your soul, your spirit, your mind, your life. That and if I don't want to go into theology here, but if you understand the real the subtext behind the death of the cross, that's what you understand.
Mm-hmm.
That Jesus' life was not his own to give.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't his own to give. That his life was given because the life belonged to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've got to understand and get back to is understanding who does life belong to and where does it return. And as long as we believe that life comes from an embryo, that life comes from two individuals having sexual intercourse, that life becomes because of a fertilization of an egg, as long as that is our narrow-minded, humanity, scientific conception of life, we will never be able to align our government against abortion. Because we have no concept of understanding where life comes from. It's so funny because in the U.S. we've done a great job of understanding where your rights come from, right? We understand they're trying to take that away, but there was a basic understanding in our founding documents. You know, we understand that your rights come from God,
mm-hmm.
right? They come from God, and so because they come from God, there's some things that you cannot take away, including life. But one of the things we haven't articulated is where does that, you know, life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness, we haven't understood really where this life from. And that's been the problem. When we remove prayer, right, when we remove churches and you don't get a church, then you begin to disconnect your life from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to understand that it's your own life. And one of the things, and I know, Pastor, you could testify this, especially as a pastor doing what you do, when you really come to the fullness of Christ, mm-hmm. you understand that that breath you breathe and that life you have, that's not your life. That's
mm-hmm.
God.
That's
right.
Why
you don't commit suicide, because mm-hmm. that belongs to somebody else. It doesn't belong to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think of, too, Audrey, too, that there's such a need for believers to genuinely be discipled, taught how to read the Word of God and live it, as opposed to hear what in their minds are mind-tickling sermons on Sunday morning, but it appear to have little or nothing to do with the way they make decisions, the things they do during the week. And so genuine discipleship is a big part of where we have a problem. Share your thoughts on this reality. You have so many people that say they love the Lord, but yet sadly are very supportive of the tragedy of abortion. They're supportive of candidates who stand for it, who boldly stand for it, and are celebrate them in that stand, yet will say that they love the Lord. And
mm-hmm. I don't have a pastor church, so readily whole chapters of verses, etc., are not really always ingrained in my head. But there are quite a few, about 100. That have stuck with me over the years of my days when I was really preaching all the time, like every week, doing revivals, etc. And one of those was 2 Timothy 2:15,
mm-hmm.
right, where he said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet abide faithful, he cannot deny himself.
Mm-hmm.
Then it skips down to verse 15, where it says, study to show yourself approved approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection has passed already, and overthrow the faith of some. That whole statement, we all know the statement, show yourself approved to God, but that entire context from verses 12, I have a whole sermon on this actually, from verses 12 all the way through 18, that is what you're talking about. That it is the reason why what you mentioned, Pastor, and this is the light that God has shared with you, and this is something that on my heart that you definitely should pray about as a pastor, that it is not just up to pastors. It's not just up to ministers. That we as individual Christians, we have to study to show ourselves approved. And right now what we've done is we've ran towards profane and vain babblings of academics, of scientists, of et cetera. And so when we come in contact, when we're trying to boldly proclaim the word, we don't know how to proclaim the word because we haven't spent any time with the word. You know? When he said, anyway, I don't want to get into it. I don't want to get into a sermon. I don't want to preach here. But when you begin to understand what the real Word of God is, right, when you actually get into it, you understand what the Word of God is, and you understand the purpose of you studying the Word is so that Word can dwell in you and you can dwell in that Word. That way, when you go out, that Word can profess itself and be there. Then, right, that Word can pierce. So a lot of this stuff with abortions and governments, in some cases, I say people like, oh, the devil is intriguing, the devil is intriguing. I say, yeah, the devil is intriguing, but we're not even doing our part. Because if someone wants to challenge you about life, if somebody wants to challenge you about abortion, you don't know enough word to even come out of it. Because the devil knows word, too.
That's right. That's right.
And I believe that people, I don't want to be mean, but I believe a lot of us have become lazy. We would say, okay, we got Pastor Joe. He's doing intercession. He's doing the podcast. He's doing stuff. You got to know the word, too. It doesn't say, pastor, study to show yourself approved in God. Everyone studied to show you. That was the Timothy, that was the letter.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, Autry, there's such a big need in the church to also understand that we're to pray, we're to read the word of God, we're to seek God, seek his heart, we're to pray. And then we get up and do. There's so much work that God is calling us to do, and we need to recognize that prayer leads to action. Hearing the word should lead to doing the word. And so as it relates, for example, the life issue, and if you'll just touch on this as well, as believers, yes, we should pray for the ending of abortion. Yes, we should vote for pro-life candidates. But at the same time, get involved with supporting the work of a pregnancy clinic. Be a sidewalk counselor at an abortion clinic or any of a number of things that believers can do to help end it rather than saying, well, I prayed and I voted right, so that's not the end of the story. But thoughts on that?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, James chapter 2, I believe around 14, verse 14, deals with this. When he wrote, what does it profit, brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him alone? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and you want to say unto them, depart in peace, will that person be warmed in the field? And then it said, then that's when the famous line goes, even so, faith, if it has not works, faith without works is dead. It's alone. You're absolutely right. Your faith requires, it is demanded of you that you work. And in every case, if that's what Jesus was doing, he said, go into the hedges, highways, byways, and compel them to come unto me. Right? He said, if I be lifted up, I draw them into me. That means you have to be lifted up. Right? Shaken together, pressed down. That requires actions. If you notice, all of these things require actions in the kingdom. And you're absolutely right. And one of the problems that we have is we get the tidbits. We know, oh, faith without works is dead. But you need to read the whole chapter. I tell people all this time, when you have memorized a verse, you need to go back and read that whole chapter and understand the context of the chapter. In James chapter 2, your pastor, as you know, James chapter 2 is integral about this, particularly starting at verse 14. That's what it talks about. It's all talking about works.
That's right.
That whole chapter talks about works over and over and over again. It even goes into Abraham, right? And then that last, and it ends saying, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
That's right.
You've got to, and you are 100% on the money. Mm. And so if you are sitting there and you're praying and you think that's all God has called you to do, you're mistaken. You're living outside the Word of God.
Mm. That's right.
You need to be able to proclaim that. And by the way, that's part of the problem. Because we're not doing any works, because we're not willing to proclaim it, everybody believes that just one side is right. Oh, yep, the scientist is right. Life begins, 3 months after conception.
Mm. Well, Audrey, our time is about gone here, though. But before we end, I'm going to give you a chance one more time to share how people get in touch with you. But I want to share with all of our listeners, if you're listening today and you've never made the all-important decision of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to pray this prayer with me, because today is a great day to get saved. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came to this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong. I repent of the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Save me. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, my email is jparker@afa.net. Please get in touch with us. We'd very much like to share with you some resources that will help you to really begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Brother Audrey, share with our listeners one more time, if they want to get in touch with you or learn more about New Journey, how can they do that?
Just go to newjourneypac.org, newjourneypac.org. You can also email me, audrey@newjourneypac.org. And by the way, even if you're looking to know a little bit more about Christ, you can email me as well.
All right. Audrey, thank you so much for being with us, and appreciate you letting the Lord use you today, okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right. Please pray much for Audrey in his position of influence in the kingdom of God. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.